Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we expound God's Word and keep an eye on heaven. God bless you. You can find all you need on our website at eternity.church. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn more from the wonderful Word of God. Hello, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. And now we're going to start a new series, a series on the help of the Lord, how the Lord assists us through the trials, tribulations, and difficulties of life. And today we will be looking at Psalm 107. Before that, let's pray. Father in heaven, I ask your anointing on this broadcast. I ask for peace. I ask for grace. I ask that your word will touch our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read this psalm. It's a fairly long psalm, but it's a good psalm. It's one that you need to bookmark in your Bibles. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men, for he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. There were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they had rebelled against the words of God and had spurned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he humbled their heart with labour. They stumbled, and there was none to help. Yet they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has shattered gates of bronze and cut bars of iron asunder. Fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he spoke and raised up a stormy wind which lifted up the waves of the sea. They rose up to the heavens, they went down to the depths. Their soul melted away in their misery. They reeled and staggered like a drunken man and were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. He caused the storm to be still so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet, so he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them extol him also in the congregation of the people and praise him at the seat of the elders. He changes rivers into a wilderness and springs of water into a thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He changes a wilderness into a pool of water and a dry land into springs of water. And there he makes the hungry to dwell, so that they may establish an inhabited city, and sow fields, and plant vineyards, and gather a fruitful harvest. Also he blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and bowed down through oppression, misery, and sorrow, he pours contempt upon princes and makes them wander in a pathless waste. But he sets the needy securely on high away from affliction and makes his families like a flock. The upright see it and are glad, but all unrighteousness shuts its mouth. Who is wise? Let him give heed to these things and consider the loving kindnesses of the Lord. Now, there's a lot of things in this long passage of 43 verses. And the thing we need to consider is that most of these people that I've talked about here get into messes of their own making. They rebel against God, or they're foolish, or they take an adventure out in the sea and they're caught in a storm. All sorts of things are happening to them. And sometimes it's their own fault. But even when it's their own fault, God rescues them when they cry out to him. So the consistent theme of this psalm is that no matter how big the mess you are in, God will deliver you out of it if you cry unto God and believe that he is a delivering God. He's a redeeming God. He has brought people out of their captivities in the north, the south, the east, and the west, and brought them back to Israel and to rejoice in God and his temple. So if you are in some difficulty, if you're in some circumstance that seems to be overwhelming you, you need to have faith in a redeeming God, a God who is merciful and kind and full of loving kindness and is not going to blame you for the mess that you've got yourself into or that life has put on you. He's not going to blame you for being in that situation. Some of these people were in jail for crimes, or else they'd wandered astray and they'd got themselves lost in the desert because they didn't know where they were going. Whatever the things that were coming upon them, God said, I'm going to help this person. This person's cried out to me. This person's coming before me. And you've got to believe that God has an answer for you, because God's a very good God. He's not going to lead you to circumstances that are terrible and afflicted. He's not going to let you live under terrible circumstances. He's a God who's got a plan for your life, and he's going to activate that plan and make it come true. We see over and over again, he says he led them to a city, a habitation, a quiet place where they could live and be joyful and have families and grow, and their cattle would not decrease. So God's got a good plan for you. His plans for you are not evil. He doesn't want to hurt you or destroy you in any way, shape, or form. However, you need to cry out to the Lord and say, I've come to the end of my own resources. I can't do anything. God, please help me. And that's a very hard thing to do, because we naturally try and solve our own problems, which to a certain extent is a very good thing. We should be intelligent. We should be responsible. We should try and find our way forward in life. But here they are, they're prisoners in a dungeon, or they're lost in the desert, or they're on a ship at sea that's being battered by huge waves. And there's nothing they can do to solve that situation. They've come to the end of themselves, like the prodigal son. And so they've come to the end of themselves, and they're desperate, and they're crying out, and they say, God, this is really, really bad. Please help. And they cry out to the Lord in their distress. After they've come to an end of themselves and all the options before them seem terrible, they cry out to the Lord in their distress and he answers them. So you have to meditate on this psalm. You have to spend a lot of time in it till you believe it. I think all of us deep down kind of believe that God's there to rescue us, but then we think we've got to fix it ourselves. And trying to fix it ourselves never works. I've been in ministry 40 years and I'm 64 years old, and I've tried to fix a lot of my own problems myself and it doesn't work. I don't have the solutions. God has the solutions. Life is always more chaotic, more unfair, more limiting than I can imagine. And so my attempts to solve things, except for small things, come to an end. They're not adequate in and of themselves. I have to give up my attempts to be the fixer, to be the one with all the answers. And I have to rely on God and say, God, we're at the end of ourselves here. We don't know where to go and what to do. I'm confused. I'm distressed. I'm struggling with this, that, or the other. Or this issue is going on in my heart or my life or a particular relationship or a financial circumstance, whatever it is at that time. And I say, God, I don't have an answer. And that's a very hard thing for a proud man like me to say, because a lot of people are looking up to me for leadership or this or that or the other, so I get the impression that I'm clever. But that impression's a wrong impression. I'm not really clever. God's just a very good God. And he has taken care of me and my wife through many ups and downs and circumstances. When we were living in the Philippines, it was quite a chaotic time, and I was at one point chased around by a terrorist group in the southern part of the Philippines and fled to Manila. And then after that, we had an interesting time in Manila before migrating across to the USA. When we got to the USA, it was much more expensive than we ever imagined it. We were pushing the shopping cart from Ralph's grocery store out to our house, and we didn't have a car, and we didn't have this, and where we were, we really needed a car, and God supplied a car at a reasonable price, and this happened and that happened, and our visas got sorted out, and we came through it. And we've come through many ups and downs and trials and tribulations, and the Lord has led us through those things, and God will lead you through the things that are coming upon you. We know about the coronavirus, we know about the chaos in the world today, and much of the stuff that is happening is beyond your control or my control, but it's under God's control. And when you come to an end of yourself, when you say, God, I'm stuck, I'm really stuck. The only option here is really, really bad, and I don't want to take it. You've got something better for me than this. You've got to tell that to God. God, you're a good God. I believe you're a good God. You've got something better for me than this. Now, the big danger is a feeling of hopelessness or helplessness. Oh, it'll never get any better. This is what I'm stuck with. God's not going to see me. God's not going to hear me. And they just sit there and they let the bad things happen to them. And I remember when I was in Mindanao in the Philippines, there was a farmer next door to me who had a pigsty. And the pigs were very smelly and they stank out the place where I was in. But he was a poor farmer and his pigs got the swine flu. And as his pigs got the swine flu, I felt very sorry for him. And so I rang my wife, who was a botanist and an agriculturalist, and I said, what can be done about this swine flu? And she said, okay, ring this part of the government. They will come over, and a free vet will come over, and they will inject the pigs, and the pigs will recover. But he's got to make the phone call for himself. You can't make the phone call for him. It's got to come from the farmer. So I said, oh, good, that's fine. So I went to the farmer and I said, this is what can happen. You just come over to my place, because I had a phone and he didn't. I said, come over to my place and use my telephone. And this is back in the days of landlines. So I said, come over and use my telephone and you make the call to the government. They'll send a vet over. He'll inject your pigs and they will get better. And he just looked at me with this very resigned look on his face. And he said, no. And he just sat there and watched his pigs die. You see, he had learned to be helpless. He had learned to be hopeless. He had learned to take the most negative interpretation of anything. And he did not believe in his heart in a rescuing or redeeming God. He just believed in his own bad luck. He believed he was some sort of cursed individual. And he didn't want the solution that God was trying to provide to him through me. Not that I'm an expert on agriculture. But people want to help us. People are compassionate and good and kind. And God sends us solutions through other people. And my wife and I wanted to help him. And we couldn't help him. We weren't vets. So we found out where one was and how one could come over. But no, he just sat there looking helpless and sad and let his pigs die. Don't be like that. Don't be like that farmer. God has got good options for you. He's got people lined up to help you. He's got loads of heavenly angels lined up to help you. It says in Hebrews 1:14 that he has the angels there as servants to help those who are redeemed, those who are going to inherit salvation. So God's got even angels who can help you. And remember, angels helped a lot of people in the Old Testament. And we remember that Abraham had a second wife, and she was kicked out by Abraham. Unfortunately, Sarah got very jealous. And so she's wandering around there in the desert and about to die. And an angel turns up and shows her how to drink water. And so Hagar was shown where the water was. She lived and her son Ishmael lives. And then the whole Arab tribes descended from that incident. She cried out to God, When she was thirsty, she was in the wilderness. She'd been rejected by Sarah because she wanted Isaac not to be bullied by Ishmael. And so Hagar and Ishmael were wandering around in the desert, but she cried out to the Lord and she was helped by God. So there's no need for you to feel helpless and hopeless. God is interested in your situation, just like he's interested in sailors at sea or prisoners in the dungeon or fools who've got themselves into a mess and now cry out to God, or people who are lost in the desert. And so we find that God is very, very good. God has a kindness towards you that you don't understand. God is kind to you because you are his children if you believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And as God's children, he is compassionate and kind and merciful towards you. He is a redeeming God. A redeeming God is a God that pays and works hard to get people out of the messes they've got into. God is not a punishing God. He doesn't want to destroy you. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and knowledge of the truth. God doesn't want you to perish. God doesn't want you to end up in a terrible financial situation. God doesn't want you to be afflicted with diseases and things like that. He doesn't want you in a bad marriage. He can turn your marriage around. He can give you the wisdom to turn your marriage around at your family situations. And God is a delivering God. And if you cry out to the Lord, and particularly when you say, I am out of options, and you go to God like that, in great humility, and cast yourself upon him, that's when the solution is going to come. Now, we find also that God has an inverted attitude. God doesn't really care about the proud princes of the earth. He humbles them. He says he pours contempt upon princes and makes them wander in a pathless waste. But he sets the needy securely on high, away from affliction. So people who are proud, people who are like these princes who think they don't need God, they can solve everything, they've got it all worked out, they've got power, they've got money, they've got social status, and they're walking around in arrogance, God humiliates them. God makes them wander in the pathways, and they don't get anywhere. Eventually, God just takes away everything they thought they had, and they're wandering around there in the desert, and God's not going to help them. But the humble person, the afflicted person who cries out to the Lord, God will hear that person and make them secure. And so we find that God is a God who changes things on behalf of the humble and changes things so that they're against the arrogant. Let's look at verses 33 to 38 here. He changes rivers into a wilderness and springs of water into a thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salt waste, because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. So people who don't acknowledge God, people who are wicked, people who don't have any humility and don't come to before God and cry out to God, those people, everything they've got is blasted and ruined. Everything's turned into a wilderness. It's dried up. It's shriveled up. Nothing good comes out of what they're doing. But then for the humble, this is what God does. He changes a wilderness into a pool of water and a dry land into springs of water. And there he makes the hungry to dwell, so that they may establish an inhabited city and sow fields and plant vineyards and gather a fruitful harvest. And he blesses them and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. So God, if you're humble, if you're coming before God, he will change your wilderness into a pool of water, and he will make you fruitful, and he will make it such that you have a continual source of prosperity in your life. And this is because God is good to you. He is a good God, but he has certain rules. And the first of his rules is that you worship him, you bow down before him, and you're humble, and you stop trying to fix everything yourself. You stop trying to be in charge of your own life, and instead you let God and his blessings take hold of you, and you believe that he's going to do this. Don't be filled with unbelief. Some people just say, yeah, I believe in God, but he won't do anything for me because... Well, when we look at through Psalm 107, he was doing things for people that were criminals locked up in jail. You see, you're not so bad that God doesn't want to help you, unless you're proud and arrogant. God will help you if you cry out to him. If you're humble before God, God will help you because he's a God who loves to help, and God is love, and God's a creator God, and he provided for Elijah in the wilderness, sent ravens to help him and to feed him. So God's got the solution of your problem right now, and he can make it happen for you. He can
Well, as for the sailors, their boat was tossed and turned. That's like us in the circumstances of life. We go up, we go down, we're terrified, we stagger around, and then God suddenly says, okay, storm be still, and he brings them to their desired haven. He brings them to a place where they can be at peace, and they say, oh, that was God. God did that. God changed our circumstances and brought us out of this confusing, terrifying situation, and he brought peace to our circumstances and to our life. And so God's got a place for you, and God's got a desired haven he wants to send you to, and you just need to believe. You just do need to believe that God got that for you, and when you cry out to God, his hand of power will work on your behalf. Don't just sit there worrying. Worrying is not the same as crying out to God. Crying out to God is when you talk to God instead of talking inside your own head. And stop worrying and stop fretting, and just go to God and say, God, I need your help today. I need you to turn my circumstances around today. Come and help me. You're the redeeming God, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I will praise you. I'll give testimony to you when you find me accommodation, or when you solve my financial situation, when you get me a job, when you make my family better. Then you can give praise to God because he has intervened decisively in your life. And God wants to intervene decisively in your life. He wants you to cry out to him. He wants you to be meek and humble before him and say, God, I have no options here. You alone can save me from this mess. And I had a friend who was $500,000 in debt because of his farm. And he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord got him out of that $500,000 of debt. And he talked about it for years and years. And this was a long time ago when $500,000 was a lot of money. Still is a lot of money. But back then it was an enormous amount of money. And he cried out to the Lord, and his $500,000 of debt vanished. And another friend had a $120,000 loan just forgiven spontaneously by the bank because she cried out to the Lord. Many people have been healed because they have cried out to the Lord, or they've seen their children come back home, and many other things that they have desired with their whole heart. So God is a God of goodness and kindness and love towards you. And today I just want you to believe, and I want you to trust him. And I want you to hope in God and praise him at all times. It says here, let's go to verse 17 to 22. Fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. You see, God can send his holy word into your life, the same word that created the heavens and the earth. He speaks and it becomes so. He makes things that are not come into being. So you might say there's no solution here, there are no options, but he can speak his word and create a new option for you. God speaks his word over your life and he heals you. He can heal you in your body, your mind, your spirit, and your circumstances. God's healing can be of your financial situation. It can be of your family. But God speaks his word into your life with authority. Just as God says, let there be light, and there was light, God can say, let there be help for Susan or Michael or James or whoever. And that help will arise. The angels will come and they will help. God will speak from his throne into the circumstances of your life so that you get to know joy and peace because he hears you on his throne. Just as he heard Hagar crying out there in the middle of the desert, a person had been a slave all her life. She was now rejected. She was cast out. She was thirsty. She had no one to go. She had a small child in Ishmael. She went off somewhere because she didn't want to see Ishmael die. And the Lord sent an angel and showed them the water. And from there they went on to become a great nation. And God can turn you around at a very last minute like he did with Joseph in the dungeon, locked away there. He sent his word. His fetters were taken off. He was taken to become prime minister of Egypt. And God blessed him in a single moment. God's word, when it comes into your circumstances, changes everything. Jesus spoke a word over some lepers. Their skin was falling off. There was 10 of them crying out to him. And he spoke and they were all healed, but only one came back to give thanks. And that one was a Samaritan. And so God has an ability to change your life. He can speak like he did to Lazarus and say, Lazarus, come forth. You think you're dead. You think the whole world's collapsed around you. You're locked away in that tomb. And God says, come up, rise up. As he's done for countless people, millions of people around the world, probably including some of your friends and neighbors, can testify to the goodness of the Lord and his kindness towards you. So when God speaks his word, you will be healed. And your circumstances will be changed. And he said, and delivered them from their destructions, or the things that were destroying them. You see, the devil is trying to destroy you. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. And God can deliver you from the devil. God can deliver you from the things you've got yourself into. He can deliver you from cancer. He can deliver you from debt. He can deliver you from family conflict. He can deliver you from the things that torment your mind. He can deliver you from curses and juju and witchcraft. God is a delivering God. And you need to cast yourself upon God and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Send forth your word and heal me. Here's a prayer for you. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Send forth your word and heal me. God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Send forth your word and heal me. For I have come to the end of myself and my circumstances. My difficulties are overwhelming me. Your great waves have come over me, and I need deliverance from heaven. And then God will send the deliverance that you desire. He will take you to the safe haven. He will give you help. He will satisfy the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he will fill with good things. He will shatter gates of bronze. He will cut bars of iron asunder. He will take you out of the things that have bound you all your life, and he will set you free, and you will offer sacrifices of thanksgiving, and you will tell of his works with joyful singing. And that you will extol God in the congregation of the people and praise him at the seat of the elders. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. God doesn't do miracles for angels. He just doesn't do miracles for prophets. He does them for the ordinary, everyday people, the sons of men, you and I and the daughters of men, men and women of very ordinary parts of life, the afflicted, the broken, the prisoner, the insane, the hurt, those that have been torn apart by life. When you cry out to God, God hears you. Believe in the goodness of God. Believe in the redemption of God who cares for you, and he will save you. He will send forth his word and heal you. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all. Hi, that was an episode of Insights for Eternity, and I'm Pastor John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship. You can find lots of resources to help you in your Christian Bible study at our website, eternity.church. Our website again, eternity.church. Thank you, and be blessed in the Lord this week.